The scripture you're about to hear from Matthew is very similar to a passage in Luke that follows Jesus' teaching about prayer. This passage urges persistence or boldness while praying and assures us that God answers our prayers. 1 Kings offers an example of when God's voice may come as a quiet whisper. God's message could be missed if we aren't intentional about allowing quiet into our daily lives. The third reading from Romans explains that while we are each part of the body of Christ, we have different God-given gifts, and he instructs us to use these gifts to serve others. How this translates into action in our individual lives is unique and can evolve and change over time. Each season of our lives brings the opportunity to serve God in different ways.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give in heaven? Give good things to those who ask him. And everything do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets.
Our second scripture passage for today is from the book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting the mountains and breaking rocks into pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence.
Our last reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 4 to 13. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thanks be to God. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Caitlin Sullivan. I was raised in the East Woodstock Congregational Church in the quiet corner of northeastern Connecticut. My experience growing up within the UCC is a large part of what made this church feel like home when I walked through its doors 8 years ago. My faith was formed through my early experiences in Sunday school and youth group, as well as the 10 summers I spent as a camper and counselor at Camp Squanto, a Christian summer camp in Swansea, New Hampshire. I attended college at Fairfield University, where I met my now husband, Rob, and studied to become a nurse. In the 10 years between college and married life, I went on numerous adventures that took me to 20 plus countries across 5 different continents. Though I thoroughly enjoyed each journey, I always landed back in Connecticut, thanks in large part to Rob. Fast forward another 5 years, and we are now happily settled in Wethersfield with our 2 daughters, Charlotte and Michaela, who were both baptized here at First Church. You don't see Rob and I here every Sunday as we do our best to attend both Catholic Mass and Protestant services to keep both of us fed spiritually in the way we are most comfortable. That and a 2.5-year-old and 8-month-old ultimately determine our weekend schedule. As my day-to-day life has changed dramatically over the last decade, so have the ways in which I seek, see, and serve God. This continuously evolving perspective is what I would like to share with you today, and is one in which I hope many of you can relate. Although we grow and change throughout our lives, the one constant is and has always been God's presence, whether we recognize it in the moment or not. When I seek God, I often need to get away. I like to get out of the house and into nature when possible, far from the distractions of everyday life. I have felt God's presence while hiking in the woods, sitting on a quiet dock in the early morning while the mist still settles over the lake, looking across the vast ocean from the beach, or laying under a star-filled sky. My most memorable experience seeking God, though, was walking the Camino de Santiago, an ancient pilgrimage route in the northern part of Spain. That's also where the two pictures on the front of your bulletin come from. It took me 4 weeks to walk the 350 miles from the French side of the Pyrenees Mountains to Santiago de Compostela in the northwest corner of Spain. I started the journey by myself, walking for 2 weeks before meeting up with Rob for the second half of our pilgrimage. You can imagine that 4 weeks of walking and walking and walking allowed for lots of time to think, pray, and ponder the mysteries of how our lives unfold. A typical day involved waking early, carefully repacking all of our belongings, and starting the day's walk before the sun got too hot or the trail too crowded. Some days were beautiful and clear, others poured down rain, but each day we walked. The days often ended over a communal meal with other pilgrims while we rested our tired, blistered feet and recharged before starting again in the morning. Although I began walking the Camino alone, I was rarely by myself on the trail. I met people from all over the world that were each walking for their own personal reasons. There were a few that walked for the physical challenge or as a tourist at the tail end of the trail, but the majority of pilgrims were seeking something. Some sought answers to life's important questions. Others worked through grief or tragic loss in their lives. Some didn't fully understand why they were on their journey, but they were seeking something nonetheless. One of my favorite parts of this experience was walking alongside other pilgrims and hearing their stories. My time on the Camino allowed me the opportunity to slow down long enough to listen with intent. I often have a lot to say to God about how I think He should be handling things in my life or situations in the lives of those I love, but I don't always stay quiet long enough to listen. I came home with a new appreciation for the importance of quiet in our lives that are so often filled with noise. Quiet to clear our cluttered minds and to listen for God's voice, which sometimes comes as a quiet whisper. These days, a moment of quiet feels like a luxury. It is much more difficult for me to seek God in the chaos of everyday life with an infant and a toddler. I have learned through the process of writing this that I need to make a conscious effort to seek God. It takes work to look inward and recognize God's constant presence there. God is within us, in our homes, at our jobs and schools, in our everyday lives, but sometimes it's difficult to see. Just how we see, appreciate, or recognize God's presence can change over time. One of my earliest memories of feeling God was at summer camp. There were two sessions of each day where the whole camp gathered together in what was known as the rec hall. This old building consisted of one big open room with exposed beams in the ceiling, a small stage on one end, and a beautiful portrait of Jesus that hung above a stone fireplace on the other. This dusty, drafty, cluttered space transformed into a beautiful place of worship with a set of drums, a few guitars, and a rickety table holding an overhead projector. I had never experienced anything like this before and can still today remember what it felt like to hear all of those kids' voices singing, shouting, and dancing their authentic praise to God. Last summer, I had the opportunity to bring my own daughter up to camp for the day, 15 years after my last summer working there. I was happy to see that although camp has been renovated and improved in many ways, the rec hall is still very much the same. A new group of campers will be gathering there today, in fact, as the last session of camp begins for the summer. Since my camp experience, I have learned that we can recognize God's presence in lots of different ways. Experiencing God may be as obvious as flashing neon lights one day and as quiet as a whisper another. If we pay attention, we can see that God is constantly reaching out to us through a song on the radio that comes on at the perfect moment, running into an old friend in an unexpected place, an act of kindness from a stranger, or having a lost object turn up in a place you know you have already searched. One encounter with God that stands out to me happened as I prepared to go on a medical mission to Africa. In order to participate, I was required to raise $4,000 to cover my plane ticket and living expenses while there. Before Facebook or GoFundMe pages were popular, I did my fundraising the old-fashioned way. I wrote a letter explaining what I was doing and mailed it to my friends and family that I thought would be interested. Although I did have a link to donate online, most people mailed cash or checks to me directly. My first payment was due, just as the early donations started trickling in. At that time, I did not have enough money in my bank account to cover the expense, but I mailed the check for $1,926 anyway, and I crossed my fingers that I would scrape up the funds before the check arrived in Texas and was cashed. A short time after mailing the check, I counted up the donations to date. I was shocked when I added the last donation and reached a total of $1,926.57. That's 57 cents more than my plane ticket cost. Now, you could shrug this off as a mere coincidence, but I like to think of it as a small miracle, a little wink from God, reminding us that He is with us every step of the way. As a mom, I have felt God's presence in even different ways. Over the last 2.5 years, I've had the absolute pleasure of watching my children grow before my eyes. Their innocence and sweetness give me glimpses of God every single day. Don't get me wrong, there are days when it's hard to see God over the mountain of laundry, diapers, and dishes that seem never ending. It's hard to hear God sometimes over the crying or the tantrums and the constant echoes of, "I'm hungry," or "Why? Why? Why?" But then I watch the sweet way that Michaela wakes up from her nap and immediately cranes her neck, searching for her sister. Or I see Charlotte fold her little hands in prayer before dinner or say amen instead of the end when her bedtime story is over, and my heart just melts. Being a parent has introduced me to a whole new kind of love, and where we see love, there we see God. Once we see God, it's up to each of us to decide how we will serve. Throughout my life, I have been given a variety of opportunities to serve God. My parents encouraged service from an early age and have always been great examples of what it looks like to serve others. As a child, much like at this church, we collected change for UNICEF while trick-or-treating, made care baskets for homebound individuals in our community, and participated in the crop walk to end hunger. These early seeds of service grew into bigger opportunities as I got older. Mission trips became my greatest passion during high school and college and prepared me to make my dream of an international medical mission a reality. In 2009, after the check for my plane ticket cashed, I spent 3 months living and working on a hospital ship in Benin, West Africa. Here I had the privilege of providing nursing care to people that came to the ship for life-changing surgeries. I was one of over 400 volunteers from across the world that help bring healthcare resources to an area of great need. I feel blessed that I was able to meet such wonderful people and take part in such important work, but not every phase of life allows for international travel or leaving a job without a paycheck for months at a time. With 2 young children, my days of extended mission experiences are a thing of the past, or at least on hold for now. I continue to learn how this chapter of my life provides unique chances to serve God, even if they aren't as glamorous as they once were. I remind myself that raising children can be an act of service. I can grow right here where I've been planted and serve God as a mother. I can serve by striving to be patient at the end of a long, tiresome day with two small children. I can be a good example as I teach my children about kind behavior. I can plant the seeds of service in their lives that have been so important in my own. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 tells us that each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. The first step in serving God, then, is recognizing our own gifts. Perhaps you have a love for animals, a passion for gardening, a brilliant business mind, or medical skills. You may be a great listener, or teacher, or mechanic. God can use your gifts in unique ways to meet the needs of others. Your knitting skills could be used to surround someone with God's love in the form of a prayer shawl. Your gift of gab may bring light into the life of someone who isn't able to leave their home. Your knowledge of a foreign language could help someone struggling to learn English get a job to support their family. Perhaps your gift is actually a struggle that you have experienced in your own life that God could use to bless others. The loss of a loved one, a battle with addiction, a medical ailment, financial hardship. Serving God may be as simple as following through with a visit or a phone call when someone in need pops into your head. You never know when God may be using you to answer someone else's prayer. All of us have the ability to serve others in our daily lives. How we serve may evolve over time as we move to different homes, change jobs, raise children, or retire. The beautiful thing is that God can use us anywhere. I recently met a man named Al who was distressed by the immigration crisis in our country and decided that each day he would walk 2.5 miles, holding up signs about protecting the rights of immigrants. You may have seen Al yourself on the local news over the last couple of years as he has captured people's attention. You also may have seen him sitting at the corner of Wells and Goff Road in Wethersfield. When his spinal stenosis and scoliosis made daily walking too difficult, he decided to sit at that intersection in town for 1.5 hours daily holding his signs. 2 weeks ago, Al turned 80. He is committed to his active service for over 550 consecutive days, and he continues to keep this important issue on people's minds when they see him. To me, Al is a great example of how to serve God from where you are. There are times in our lives where seeking, seeing, and serving God may be exciting adventures, and there are times when we do these things as part of our ordinary life. The important thing is that you use whatever God-given gifts you have to serve the world in your own unique way. Through your occupation, a cause that you're passionate about, what you teach your children, or simply the way you interact with others on a daily basis. We are all on this journey together, and each day brings a new opportunity to show God's love by serving others.